Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Near Death Dolls. I'm Paige.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are your hosties with the mosties.
Well, talking about ghosties.
And other fiction meets reality shit.
Well, ain't that a fine how do you do?
Yeah, totally. I mean, Agatha Christie, famed author of mystery novels, goes missing herself.
Ooh. Indubitably, darling. Are you ready to dive into a 1920s detective drama?
Cheers to that, darling. Let's get good and spifflicated.
Ooh, that means drunk.
Yes, for all of those out there who didn't know what that meant, spifflicated means drunk. And we're gonna get there.
Yeah, let's get there.
Yeah, that's 1920s language, so we're going back in time.
I almost did the time warp for you.
Let's do the time warp again.
We will.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, what will you be having from the barman?
I will be having a white Russian.
Oh, girl. Delish.
So good. I'm almost done with it, and we only just started. I'm going to need a secret refill. Barman. Barman. I have no idea what accent that is.
Sounds a little British. I like it.
Yeah. So I am, having a white Russian. It is traditionally Kahlua, cream, and vodka. I have to think about it. Sometimes with a, drizzle of chocolate, depending on how you like it. But I made mine with vodka and Mr. Black and vodka. Wait, I said vodka twice, right? It's obviously very good. Extra vodka. I meant cream. Mm. Vodka cream, and I used Mr. Black as instead of Kahlua. We didn't have Kahlua. Mr. Black is like a less sweet Kahlua. It's a cold brewed coffee liqueur, just less sweet. And I added a little bit of chocolate to it. I don't know if that makes it a Black Russian. I'm not quite sure. But either way, it's very good. It's like alcoholic chocolate milk at this point, and you can't go wrong there.
Hell no, you can't.
No, this is delicious. And
adult chocolate milk.
Adult chocolate milk. And we went to Specs, and I found Kahlua makes a pre-made mix of white Russian, and I was about to grab it. It was $12. I was like, perfect. This thing is huge. I can have a whole bunch. Kyle was like, no. We're going to make it from, scratch. And I'm like,
why?
Do we have to? He's like, well, we'll use Mr. Black. Let's just get some vodka. So I spent $20 on vodka.
Damn.
When I could have spent $12 on just a giant bottle of Russian, white Russian. But there you go. That's why you have a artisanal mixologist husband. Yes, it is an artisanal white Russian, darling. Cheers
to that.
So that's what I'm getting spifflicated on. Paige, what are you getting spifflicated on?
Almost as fast as you are, if not faster, I'm getting spifflicated. I have a heavy hand when I'm pouring. But so Lisa's got a cream-based drink. I've got a cream-based drink. Anybody venture a guess as to what Agatha Christie's favorite drink is? Agatha Christie. Jesus Christ. Agatha Christie.
Whatever it is, it's very good. Whatever she was drinking, whatever you're drinking.
Yes. So apparently Agatha Christie really liked Devon cream, and she would just have, her grandson said that she would have a glass of thick cream, like a Devon cream, and just drink it straight. She's nuts.
Okay. So what is Devon cream? I have no clue.
It's like a heavy cream, any kind of heavy cream that you'd buy for baking or for a coffee creamer, just that. And she would drink it. But they'd make it in Devon. It's kind of like a famous thing in Devon, England, where she was born and lived most of her life.
Did she add any booze to it?
She was a drinker. Like, she had drinks in her life. She wasn't like a sober person, but she just loved cream so much, she would drink it by itself.
I hope you say that at my funeral. She wasn't a sober person.
Yeah, on my gravestone.
Please, for the love of God, put that. Here lies Lisa. Not a sober person.
She was not a sober person. Let it be said of Lisa.
These drinks are good. I'm enjoying.
Yeah. Right. I haven't even said what mine is.
Yeah. What do you got?
It is basically very similar to yours, except I'm just calling it a mudslide. A vegan mudslide. So it's Kahlua, which is vegan. I put Yeah. I had to write this down because I knew I was gonna get what's the word? Spifflicated. So I've got Kahlua coconut creamer, which is just a coffee creamer made with coconut milk, vodka, and Hershey's has started making a vegan chocolate syrup.
Whoop whoop, yay for Paige.
Yes, I am very excited. If any of you vegans out there or just people who are dairy sensitive, if you want a new like Hershey's syrup, relive your childhood, Hershey's is making, I think it's just called Hershey's Simple.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, too. It tastes just like the non-vegan version. So, and I've got it in a, it's not a keep calm carry-on. It says, don't tell me to keep calm. Mug.
Love it. Yeah. Very cute.
For British, you know.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I had to ask Paige if Agatha Christie was British or not. I couldn't remember. I had a feeling she was, but I was like, I can't remember quite if she was or not. But cool. Like it. Love it. Want more of it.
She had some books that were set in America, too. So it's not like she was completely like a Britophile, Anglophile, whatever. She did other stuff.
That's where she's from. Like, if I were to write a book, it would probably be set in America. Just, it is. Yeah. That's totally. What I know.
Totally. Yeah. Well, she wrote a lot. We're going to find out. In fact, Lisa, are you ready to get to the story of the mysterious disappearance of our Agatha Christie?
Yes. Sorry, that was not very, like, how do you do, dang team? But okay. I don't know what any of these accents are, but yes, I am so ready. I've heard of her disappearance. I know a general idea of the story, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me way more details than I know, so I am so excited. Let's do this.
Let's do it, and let's figure out what happened. Agatha Christie is one of the most well-known crime fiction authors of the 20th century. She wrote 66 detective novels. That's a lot. Over 20 plays. I didn't know she wrote plays.
Neither did I.
Apparently very famous one. And collections of short stories as well. Her books have been translated into over 100 languages. And Agatha Christie is number 3 of all-time bestsellers. All-time. Like, all-time.
Wow. That's awesome.
Do you know what number 1 and number 2 is ahead of her?
The Bible.
That's one.
Harry Potter.
Ah, close. Very close. I guess Shakespeare. It's kind of Harry Potter-esque. Oh, okay.
Is it?
They're British.
Okay. So we got the Bible, Shakespeare, Agatha Christie. That's awesome. And then Harry Potter somewhere.
Probably pretty close behind. But
yeah.
Yes. So you could say she's in good company.
Jesus and Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'd go to a Shakespeare church. Sorry. Don't do a spit take. So she wrote an autobiography. It was published after she died in 1977, but in it she doesn't even mention the part of her life where she went missing. She didn't want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it. Mm-mm. Oh, but we're gonna learn about it.
We are. We still know about it even though she didn't want to talk about it. So she is actually missing for about 11 days in total.
Okay.
At that time, the biggest search party effort that had ever been attempted up until then.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, so. I would think if a mystery crime writer, novelist person went missing, I feel like that would be like the intrigue of the century. Like, how does this happen?
That's exactly what happened. They're like, ooh, maybe it's not completely ironic because apparently that's a very specific word that you can't just throw around like people do, but it's kind of ironic. It's a paradox, like a mystery writer mysteriously disappearing. It's crazy.
I love it though.
So what happened? Why did she go missing? Who found her? We're going to figure it out. Don't worry your pretty little head. We're going to figure this shit out.
My head's fine. Thanks.
It is very pretty. Your head's fine. My head's fine. Okay, so liquid courage. Okay. Agatha Mary Clarissa Miller, later to become Agatha Christie, was born in 1890 in Devon, England, and she was the youngest of 3 children. Her mother and father, Clara, which is short for Clarissa, so her middle name is after her mother.
Cute.
Yeah. But they called her Clara. So Clara and Frederick, who's her dad, homeschooled Agatha.
Was that common back then? Was she considered, what class were they considered?
Middle class at the time.
Okay, middle class.
This was in 1890. So 1890 middle class in Devon, England.
Okay.
They decided to homeschool her, and for some reason, her mom, Clara, was very concerned that Agatha should not learn how to read until she's 8 years old.
Come again?
I don't get it. I don't see why. What's the reason? Doesn't make sense. But Agatha... That's
very strange.
It is. It's like, why are you trying to keep your kid ignorant until 8 years old?
That's very weird. Like, was that a thing of the time? Like, maybe kids shouldn't be bothered with, like, learning how to read. Like, no. You need to keep your childhood. Or, I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning would be, but is that a common thing? Because, like, people now push their kids to read, like...
By 3 or 4.
Yeah, like, let's start identifying words. Can you, at least by sight, can you sight identify words or whatever it's
called? Letters, you know? Or number. Yeah. Agatha wasn't ready to wait around. She got bored and lonely, so at the age of 5, she taught herself how to read.
Okay, excuse me. I always find it funny when people are like, I taught myself how to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how?
How?
Indeed. How do you teach yourself how to read? You don't know what you don't know.
How are you gonna, I don't know, maybe they had a book that was like, how to read, but how do you read the book that says how to read if you don't know how to read? I don't know.
Maybe there was like a maid or something that's like, I'll teach you the alphabet and what the letters sound like, and you can put two and two together, and B together, whatever.
Yeah, maybe she had a governess or something, or her dad was even like, your mom's crazy, let's figure this out together, and then they never wanted to talk about it.
Sure. Okay, cool. She learned how to read at the age of 5.
Around this time, the family started experiencing financial difficulties.
Oh, fuck.
Dad Frederick, an American, he started having a series of heart attacks.
Oh.
So he couldn't work, and eventually he died from these heart attacks.
That sucks.
Yes. At this point, her other siblings were grown and out of the house. So it was just Clara and Agatha not stuck together, but, you know, it was just the two of them left.
Mm-hmm.
They grew very close. So she really loved her mom.
And she was the baby, too.
Yes, she was the baby. So without dad, without her siblings around, just Clara and Agatha.
Gotcha.
Now, this prolific writer had already begun writing short stories and poems in her youth. She also took dance classes and piano lessons.
Mm-hmm. Was she like jazz tap?
I have no idea. Probably ballroom. I'm going to say ballroom. Who knows?
Yeah, it's probably good. Yeah.
The Charleston.
Too early. A little early for that one, but I like it. I like it a lot.
It was said that she was good enough at piano that she could have been a professional pianist, but... She had crippling social anxiety, so she couldn't perform in front of people.
Yeah, you kind of have to be willing to perform in front of people to make it, you know?
Yeah. Even though pianists don't usually talk during their performances, you still got to be up there in front of people. I'm sure that's very scary for someone. Like, I don't like that.
As someone who's had to perform on an instrument in front of people, it is scary. Yes. It's very scary.
It's very scary. Yes, I always, when I was in Steam Powered Giraffe and we had to go on stage, I would sit in the back of stage just going like this, like, I don't want to do this, and then running out. I'm like, okay, let's do it. I can do it.
That was me with my bassoon. Let's fucking do this.
Let's fucking do it. A shot of liquid courage in high school.
Shit. I think I only ever drank with you in high school. Sorry, Mom.
Hey, vodka, you know. What are you going to do?
What did we drink in high school?
I think it was vodka, right? Didn't we have a big bottle of vodka while we were...
No, it was something else. God, what was it?
Was it rum?
It was rum. Mm. We did rum and Cokes. Rum and root beers.
Rum and root beer. That's all I had, I think, was root beer. Yeah. So we're like, oh, well, this is what we got.
We rum and root beered it, yeah, in high school. We waited till we were seniors, though.
We were seniors already. It wasn't like we were, and we weren't doing anything. We literally were sipping on it and watching TV.
Yeah, that's literally it. And eating those limon chips, the limon Lays. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness, that sounds good.
Sorry, we had to go back, you know, back to our high school days. Anyways, go ahead, Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie. One more thing about her childhood. Her and her mom spent a lot of time in Egypt together.
Ooh, That's right up Paige's alley.
Girl, her whole life is right up my alley. She's the baby by far. She mm-hmm. and her mom are very close. She mm-hmm. went to Egypt a lot. Social anxiety. I'm like, girl, I am feeling all of this.
And writer, too. You write.
I'm writing. Yeah, I started writing about the same age she did. I haven't mm-hmm. published like she has.
That's okay. You'll get there.
One day. Now we move on to Agatha, the young adult. I see you finishing your drink.
I'm just trying to get the chocolate goo at the bottom.
I see that. I love that I can, it's a clear glass so I can see the chocolate draining out.
It's like I'm exsanguinating my glass of chocolate.
That's a good word for a true crime podcast, yeah.
I'm fancy with my words.
You is fancy. So
I'm done with my drink, so I'm moving on to water.
Boring. Hey, we need a refill. Barman.
Kyle, come here. Just kidding. It's fine. I probably should drink some water.
Okay, fine. So, despite being painfully shy, Agatha did start attending dinner parties and dances as a young woman.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
Yeah. It's probably better when you're not, like, the center of attention. You can kind of hide in the background.
Sure.
This is where, at a dance, is where she met her future husband.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. In 1912, she met Archie Christie.
Archie.
In her autobiography, she describes their young love as the excitement of strangers.
It is exciting when you meet someone for the first time.
Especially, like, when you're young and they're young and the hormones are flying. It's so exciting.
Yes, it is. It's exhilarating, so... Yeah, okay.
So I get it. They said they had a whirlwind romance anyway. But if you look at the time period, she met him in 1912.
Okay.
We know it's around the corner, and we know it's about to take Archie away from her, at least for a short time.
I feel like there was a war afoot. Am I right or am I right?
You're right. The first of two. He didn't get drafted. He applied to join the Royal Air Force. Archie did.
Okay.
He became a flying officer in World War I and a mm-hmm. colonel. So we're going to call him Colonel Archie.
The colonel.
Colonel. Archie.
Archie the colonel. All right.
Yes. And she, so while her boyfriend's off flying in the war, she volunteered to be a nurse.
Good. Help out.
Yes. And she, as a nurse, she volunteered to work with the, basically like the apothecary. So she was helping to mix the medicine,
mm-hmm.
which famously taught her all about mixing poisons.
Ooh.
Yeah, for later use in writing murder mysteries.
Well, I would hope it wasn't for actual murders, but yeah.
Maybe, and she's just so good at it, we don't know.
I like where your mind went. I like it a lot.
Now, we're not going to talk too much about World War I. If you're interested, we did have an episode about trench life in World War I. Want to go back and listen to that, learn a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. That was a good episode. I like that one a lot.
Me too. That one was fun. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. not for them. No, Archie didn't have to go into the trenches. He was in the Royal Air Force, so at least I assume.
I mean, you got to fly places. I mean, you got to land eventually somewhere. I mean, you're not landing in a trench, but you might have to go into the trenches for some reason or another.
Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, actually, I have no idea what would have happened. He might have had to go into a trench.
Possibly.
Let's ask Maybe. Archie.
Archie! Did you have Archie. To go in the trench, Archie?
He's like, I'm so glad I'm dead right now.
He's like, I'm glad these bitches don't fuck around with them Ouija boards.
Oh my god, I know we don't, but if we did, Archie!
Archie, are you there? I don't know why that's the accent, it's just what's coming out.
Speak to me, Archie. But they were in love. Agatha and Archie, madly in love, they wanted to get married.
Good.
Clara, her mom, saw right through Archie. She said,
was there something to see through?
She told Agatha, she said, do not marry that man. He is a cad and he will not be faithful to you.
Oh, damn. Okay, mom.
Yeah. Mom knows best, but she didn't listen to her mom.
No.
So Agatha went ahead and married Archie the cad on Christmas Eve 1914, just after the war started.
I mean, there's sentiment in trying to, you know, get hitched before you go off to war, right? I mean, like, you know, if you die, I'd like for you to have been my husband, wife for however long we made it. You know, I don't know. It's a romantic notion, so.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it. And they were madly in love. And, you know, sure. I've been there where it's like, I don't care how stupid this sounds. I'm going to go through with it because I don't like him.
Shit.
So they did. They got married. And then the day after, they had a honeymoon night in a fancy hotel. And then he got shipped off to France. They barely got to see each other. She said she didn't even really consider herself and him to have had years married until about 1918 when the war was over. And that's when they got to live.
Yeah, because you haven't actually seen each other. It didn't feel like a marriage, per se.
But yeah, I don't know. Just letters, maybe once in a while. If he's on leave, he can come see her. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. So, but in 1918, that's when they got to, like, live together. They had a daughter in 1919.
Okay.
Her name was Rosalind, and that's Agatha's only child.
Rosalind, I like that.
Yeah, really pretty name. The year that she gave birth to Rosalind is also the same year that she published her first novel.
Good for you, girl. Good for you.
Right? I know. You work through that pregnancy. You keep writing. It's called The Mysterious Affair at Stiles.
Ooh, sounds intriguing.
I wonder what's so mysterious about it.
Yes, quite.
The book introduces one of Agatha's best known and beloved detectives. By me, he's my favorite.
Starts with a P.
Yeah, Poirot.
There you go. I can't say it.
Hercule Poirot. Yeah.
Poirot. Yeah. There you go. All right.
Belgium.
Okay. Nice.
Like I said, he's my favorite detective of all time. I watched David Suchet play him on TV.
Oh, very nice. I know there's like BBC versions of some of her novels brought to life, so I'll have to check those out.
I have not. I love Agatha Christie. I'm really sorry, any Christie heads out there. I only like Hercule Poirot. I mean, I like Tommy and Tuppence, they're okay. But I'm not a fan of Miss Marple. She's an old lady detective. She's okay, but that Poirot, he's sassy. I like him.
I knew of Miss Marple. Okay.
She's fine. Nothing compares for me to Hercule Poirot because
he's okay to have your favorite. It's fine.
Thank you. Yes, he's my favorite. He's a Belgian detective with OCD and, as Agatha puts it, a luxurious mustache.
I have seen pictures of le moustache.
Yes. We're going to find out what she thinks of all the people who've played Hercule Poirot and their version of the mustache.
Okay.
So what happens is, even just this very first novel, she gains notoriety right off the bat.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She got good reviews for her books and made some decent money, especially after she got an agent and moved to a new publishing company, which is now known as HarperCollins.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Me too.
I think most of my books probably come from there, or Penguin, so there you go.
Oh, Penguin. I did forget about the Penguin. To celebrate the success, Agatha and Archie and daughter moved into a nice new house of their own, bought with Agatha's book sales.
Oh, nice.
They called it Stiles in honor of her first novel.
Cute.
Super cute. It was hopefully a happy time for them. However, I have read that Agatha kept a very tight grip on the finances.
Good. She's probably the one making all the finances. Keep a tight grip on them if you gotta.
It's true. It's her money.
You don't need the CAD spending it all.
Yeah. I would not put it past him to do that, to spend her money. I think it did cause some strain in the marriage. It could have even been that he was resentful that she was making all the money.
It happens, and especially if she's keeping a tight eye on it and not, you know, giving him quite the luxurious allowance he probably thinks he deserves.
Yes.
But then, all right, I'm not trying to be sexist here or anything. I'm just like, good for her for making money and keeping an eye on it. Because it can go bad either way it's played. Whoever makes the money, the other person can spend way too much of it. It happens.
You got a budget. And who knows how much she actually held on to the finances. She could have just been like, let's budget a little bit. And people were like, whoa, woman coming up in here trying to handle the finances. I don't know.
True.
But it did. There was some tension in the marriage.
Okay.
Could have been that. Could have been a lot of things. Could have been the fact that he's a fucking cad.
Could be.
So, all right. Now here's where Agatha's life turns a little dark.
Ew.
In April of 1926, Clara, her mom, passed away from bronchitis at the age of 72.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Agatha was devastated. That's her mom. She loved her.
Mm-hmm.
She made the journey to her childhood home to start sorting and clearing through her mother's possession.
Mm-hmm.
By herself.
Mm.
Alone. For several months in a deep depression.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's dark.
Dark. Yeah, I cannot imagine by myself going through stuff like that. Like going to my mom's house, going through all the memories by myself. That's just painful.
Yeah.
I had my sister there with me, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Agatha wasn't alone the whole time. Somebody did come to visit her. Her husband, Archie.
Yay, Archie.
Archie, come and visit.
Well, I hope it's a good thing, but may not be.
It's not. It is not. So her mom died in April. Archie came to visit in August. So it's
a few months.
Yeah, I don't know if she stayed up there the entire time, but she was definitely up there the majority of the time trying to clear out the house.
Okay.
And when Archie showed up, he said he's in love with another woman and pretty please can we get a divorce.
She was only gone a few months. What happened?
I don't know, man. How long had the affair been going on? I don't know, but that's true. When he decides to tell her.
Not a good time. Not a good time, Archie.
No, right after her mom died. But no accounting for taste right there.
Shit.
So by December of 1926, the same year, so her mom died in April. In August, she found out her husband's cheating on her. By December, the two of them are back home in Stiles, living with their daughter, but they're fighting constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The colonel refused to stop seeing his mistress, and her name was Nancy Neal.
That bitch.
That bitch. She was 10 years younger than Agatha.
Well.
Bitch.
Bitch.
And I think it's worth noting, Agatha was 36 at this time.
She's not even old.
She's not old. She is not old. And that just means Nancy's 26. And unmarried at 26 in those days, she was probably considered a little bit of a spinster. None of my business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two, I just think this is interesting. Archie met Nancy because they're both avid golfers.
So,
shared interest?
So, he's playing golf at the country club on Agatha's dime.
Probably,
meeting
his
mistress. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't get those new golf clubs because he's a colonel.
No.
Just kidding. I don't know how much a colonel would make.
Yeah, he's retired from there. He's got a job at some other place in London. I don't think he's making that much money. I think she's the one with all the money. And, of course, I think Nancy is also wealthy. I don't know. He's a cad. He's a fucking cad.
He's a cad. Mom was right. Like, the ghost of her mom was like, something bad's going to happen. Your cad is going to come here and
get
your life over. You should have listened to me.
You should have fucking... what did I say?
Yeah.
Now, this is where the mystery begins.
Ooh.
On December 3rd, 1926, after one particularly nasty fight between Agatha and Colonel Archie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they were fighting about. Archie was going to take a weekend to go with his mistress, Nancy, and some friends to a nice estate in Surrey. And he told her about it.
Why?
I don't know why this guy is so unfortunately honest. It's like he could have just said, I'm going off with my friends. But he had to be like, no, my mistress will be there, like throwing it at Agatha's face.
Yeah, it sounds like he's insecure. He's an insecure guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe he's like, fuck you and your money. I'm going to take my girlfriend off for the weekend. I don't know. But...
can I have some money?
Yeah, exactly. Can I have some allowance?
Yeah.
So he left. He took off like a prick. And Agatha was left alone in this big old house with her daughter and one housemaid.
Okay.
We know what Agatha did that night, but we don't know what she was thinking about it. So here's what she did. Agatha put Rosalind to bed and told the maid to look after her. and that she was going to be leaving, but she didn't say where she was going.
Mm-hmm.
Agatha packed a small attaché, not a bag, it has to be an attaché.
Of course.
Of course. We're not heathens.
That's true.
She grabbed a fur coat mm-hmm. and went for a drive.
Oh, girl, take yourself for a drive.
Right. I mean, I think we've all been there. We've had a rough day, rough night. I just need a drive. I just need to get out of the house, be alone with my thoughts, go yes. somewhere or go nowhere.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what she did. So possibly she didn't even know where she was headed. She just needed to get out of the house. And no matter where she was actually headed, her car ended up in Surrey, like her husband. That's where he was with his girlfriend.
Okay.
I mean, it's a big county, but still.
Yeah.
On the morning of December 4th, so this is just the very next morning, Agatha's car was found near the edge of a chalk quarry. So a big old cliff face.
Huh.
And inside, the headlights were on her car, just left running. Inside the car, they found Agatha's fur coat, attaché, and her driver's license. She left everything. She just walked off. Or who knows what happened. And they didn't see any sign of her whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, police questioned Archie.
Good.
Yes, chief suspect, piece of shit. And not only was he having an affair, Agatha's car was found nearby, abandoned, where Archie and Nancy were shacked up that weekend.
Okay.
Little suspicious.
Little suspicious.
Yes. I mean, either Agatha was like, I'm going to go close to where they are, or maybe Archie found her. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Within days, Agatha's disappearance had taken over the headlines of newspapers around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Unable to resist the juicy enigma of a mystery writer vanishing mysteriously.
Ooh, the mystery, the intrigue.
The sex. Gotta sensationalize.
Wow. You are right.
Now, like I said before in the intro, this is the largest manhunt that has happened up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
They used this, and this is what makes it the largest manhunt. They used, for the first time ever, an airplane to look for her.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't think it would have worked great, but clearly it didn't work great because that's not what found her. But they were trying to pull out, you know, do everything they could to find
her. Sure. I always think it's interesting when airplanes go looking for a missing person. Because I'm like, especially like in like a forest or something, because I'm like, how can you see? It's like, there's trees.
Right.
I don't know.
What you got, a telescope?
heat sensing technology? I don't know. I guess there might be a clearing where there might be like a water path or something like that. So that would make sense. But I don't know. Maybe if they were looking in a quarry, maybe that would help. Quickly just flying over, seeing if you can see her dead somewhere or laying there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. You're right. They're probably not trying to scale this wall down into the quarry.
Yeah.
But anyway, they did some other stuff too. They dredged lakes. They got volunteers to conduct searches of the area where her car mm-hmm. had been found.
Okay.
And they even called in a fellow mystery writer, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Woo woo, Sherlock Holmes, what's up, baby?
What's up, bitch? Got Sir Conan Doyle in here.
I love it. Did they know each other, or did they just know of each other?
I'm pretty sure they didn't know each other personally. Maybe they'd met at some event, but they, mm-hmm. I don't, just because a person writes mystery novels doesn't necessarily make them a detective. In fact, they...
Perhaps not.
There is an interesting case that I want to cover, or if you want to cover for our show, of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle attempting to be a detective on one case and just fucking up the whole thing, because he's not a good detective.
I know nothing of this, so you're going to have to do that one sometime.
I would love to. It's insane.
Yeah, so, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see that it's like, just because you can write a good story does not make you a good detective.
Not necessarily, no.
No, no. But they called him in, and what he did, because he was a big fan of spiritualism, the spiritualism movement.
Nice. Didn't think of that. Oh, love it. I love it so much.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? He brought his favorite medium with him, and if you're interested in learning more about mediums and the spiritualist movement, we've got two episodes about it, the Fox Sisters and the history of the Ouija board. So go for it.
Yes.
They used one of Agatha's gloves, the medium did. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened from that. Now, the police were getting so desperate, they decided that Agatha had disguised herself as a man and was living in London, hiding out in plain sight.
I mean, she might have, but did she?
It's not, no, she wasn't in London. She wasn't dressed as a man, but they even had an artist draw a depiction of what Agatha might look like a fake mustache on, and put that in the newspaper for people to keep an eye out.
A bowler hat and a mustache. Very nice.
Yes, exactly. It's like, this is her as a woman. This is what she might look like if she were in disguise as a man.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm going to have to Google a picture of that.
You should. I saw it. I'll see if I can find it again.
Okay.
Now, lo and behold, despite all of the policemen going to great lengths to find her, they didn't find her. Someone came forward and said they'd seen Agatha.
Mm-hmm.
It was a musician. I believe he played the banjo.
Nice.
He worked for a band that played in a hotel, and he said he was absolutely sure he'd seen Agatha dancing the Charleston at the hotel one evening.
Which she did not learn when she went to school for dancing.
I don't think so, but she knows it now.
She knows it now. I cannot see. So I just imagine Agatha Christie as being very refined and smart and shy. Mm-hmm. And then trying to do the Charleston at 36. No offense to anybody. I mean, people can dance. Like, look at freaking J-Lo. She can still dance and shit.
Hell yeah.
She's 50 plus.
She's looking good.
I just can't see Agatha Christie doing the Charleston. It just sounds funny.
You know, that's kind of the funny part about it is that, well, we'll see. We'll see. I'll bring it up when it comes up. But
okay.
Now, the hotel was in Yorkshire. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she was in the best place for her or for me or you. Wink. Sounds real nice. It was a spa hotel.
Oh, I love it.
Doesn't that sound nice?
Send me there. Yes.
Massages, spa, what's the, steam rooms? Oh,
yes. Mm. You know what? Just massage me back to back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah. You can steam me in between, I guess, but just, I want the massages so bad.
Oh my God. My last massage I ever had when I still had a good job, I got one that had a steam room before and after built into the package. And it was like a personal steam room. So it was just big enough for me and maybe one other person, but it was just me in there. It was so nice. I didn't realize how nice that would be. It was nice.
Oh my gosh. I think the last one I got, Kyle got me a gift certificate to this like really nice spa in like near the Galleria. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Oh my gosh. And I think they did have personal steam rooms and showers too.
Nice.
But goodness gracious, I mean, I know it cost them a pretty penny, but it was luxurious, darling.
Oh God.
And funny enough, before I actually went there to have a spa treatment, I applied to manage it.
That's funny.
Didn't get the job. And then I told Kyle, I'm like, I really want to work at this spa. It's super duper nice. And I didn't get the job. And I ended up just, you know, getting another job. But then I got sent there. And I was a little resentful, but I was like, oh, no, this is nice. I wouldn't want to ruin this by managing it.
Right. Yeah, if you worked there, you'd never be able to enjoy it.
No, I'd be critiquing everything. But no, it was great.
That's awesome. For your next birthday, you should get another massage. I'm going to call Kyle.
Yeah, you tell Kyle. Tell Kyle. But like, Lisa really wants another massage at that place, okay?
Yes.
He'll know. He'll know which
one. The one by the Galleria, I'll say.
Yeah.
The one she almost worked at.
Yes, he'll know. He'll know.
Now, this one had massages and things like that, but it also had Turkish-style steam baths.
Oh, sounds nice.
I looked up Turkish-style steam baths, and it looks nice. It's like the big rooms with, you know, colorful mosaic tiles and, you know, the bathtubs in the ground. And, you know, you're bathing with, like, other people in there. I don't know about that, but that's how they used to do it.
Some people pee in the bath. Turkish style.
Turkish delight, they call it.
Oh, gross.
No, they called the hotel the Hydropathic Hotel because, you know, water healing.
Yes.
Later, it was renamed the Old Swan Hotel. And that's what it's named today you could still go there.
Oh, nice. Is it still a spa?
I don't think they have the spa on anymore.
Okay.
I think they got rid of that when they changed it to the old Swan Hotel. But man, good for her getting some me time after all this shit.
Yes. Go get your groove back, darling.
Girl. Get it. Darling, yes. Now, when they'd heard that she was there, the police sent her husband, the colonel, to spy on her and confirm her identity. Archie went in to the breakfast room of the hotel, sat down, not even that far away from her, where she was sitting with a newspaper. What was on the cover of the newspaper? Her own face. Archie approached his wife, and she looked up at him, but didn't recognize him.
What? She didn't recognize him?
That's what it says. Archie said that, and there was witnesses at other tables. I guess they had been forewarned or questioned afterwards. The witnesses at other tables said the same thing. They're like, Agatha looked up at him and had a puzzled expression of like, why is this strange man coming to talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be like, fuck this guy, I don't want to talk to him.
A little bit of both.
Could be a little bit of both. See, Agatha had checked into the Hydropathic Hotel 10 days before under an alias.
Mm-hmm.
That alias was Mrs. Teresa Neal of South Africa.
Oh.
And if you'll remember, Archie's girlfriend's last name is Neal.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
Coincidence? A little on the nose there, Miss Agatha.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what she was playing at.
Yes. What indeed? Oh, my God. That's kind of what I was thinking about with the Charleston, is that they're saying here is that she didn't remember who she was, so maybe she forgot to be shy. And that's why she's out there doing the Charleston. I don't know how amnesia works. Or if she even really had amnesia.
Yeah, she could have hit her head in the car, gotten an accident, hit her head, wandered off, and checked into a spa. That sounds totally legit.
Yeah. Yeah, and that essentially is the statement that her and her husband put out is what happened. She got into a car accident. She got a concussion. She had a head wound that was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up at this hotel and signed in under a random name. She thought she really was this person, Teresa Neal, from South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a long-distance cousin of Nancy.
Nancy. Fucking Nancy.
Maybe she's driving. She's so mad at Nancy Neal or whatever her name is, and she gets in an accident, hits her head, and she comes out of it, and I'm like, I'm Teresa Neal. Ooh, spa. Let me go do the Charleston with a brush.
I'm going to get a steam bath.
Ooh, Turkish bath.
You know, that's funny because I was thinking if she was driving and upset with these people, obviously I would be too. And she's like, in my next book, I'm going to create a character named Mrs. Teresa Neal of South Africa and, like, kill her off to get back at Nancy.
Oh, and then it got stuck. Mutilate that bitch. Yeah.
Like I don't know. It's interesting. The papers had a field day with this. They said all kinds of things. They were saying, like, Agatha did it for a publicity stunt, essentially, to make herself more famous and get her books to sell better. They said that maybe she did it to frame her husband for murder or for, you know, attempted murder. Ooh,
she could have Gone Girled it.
Yes. Yes. Spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sorry.
It's been out long enough.
It has. And that's, I love that movie. I need to read the book, but I love that movie. Anything by, was it Gillian Flynn? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love her. All her stuff. Sharp Objects. Beautiful. Oh. I watched the TV show and then I read the book before the finale and then I finished the book and then watched the finale. It was so good.
Oh, good. You didn't ruin it. Okay. I was like, oh, don't do that.
No. Didn't ruin it. They were both beautifully done. Very well done.
I agree, man. That was a good show. I did not watch I did not read the book, but.
It's okay. Show was great. It was great. You don't have to. It's fine.
I'll stick with it. Now, another theory that they had is that she had a nervous breakdown. It had been a tough year for her. Her mom had died, and she learned that her husband was having an affair. So maybe she did have a nervous breakdown and, you know.
It happens.
Lost her memory. Yeah. The official statement, like we've already said, is that she hit her head, suffered amnesia from a concussion, and she walked to this hotel. Or she walked to a train station that took her to the hotel.
Okay.
Agatha herself, so Archie released that statement.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did, because he was a fucking suspect.
She's fine.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Oh, and I forgot to mention, two doctors did corroborate the story that she had a concussion. Mm-hmm. So, Agatha herself did one interview, and this was the only time she would talk about this.
Okay.
Which is a little suspicious to me in and of itself, but if it's a painful memory and she's shy, she might just not like talking about it.
Sure. We'll give her that.
Yeah. Yeah. She continued the amnesia story. She said she got psychological treatment afterwards that helped her overcome and come back into herself. Mm-hmm. She said she left her house that night, not necessarily intending to commit suicide, but she was contemplating it.
Okay.
She had driven by that chalk quarry earlier, mm-hmm. but her daughter was in the car, so she didn't do anything at that time because her daughter was there.
Sure.
But she thought about it, and that's why she returned to that same chalk quarry. She was intending to drive off the lead. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason she didn't was because she got a car accident. I think she hit a tree or something. Mm-hmm. And she got the concussion. She said she was covered in mud and blood from the accident.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somehow walked to a nearby train station. She says she remembers ending up at a train station. Mm-hmm. She said it was very strange. This is later on in the interview. She said, isn't it very strange that I showed up in this train station, asked somebody what train station it was, and I was covered in mud and blood, and that the conductors I talked to didn't think to report it to the police or ask further questions.
Very strange.
Seems a little odd. Also, the hotel attendants, same thing. They saw her with blood on her and didn't think about it.
They probably were like, this lady needs a massage. This lady needs a little R&R.
Let's show you right to the steam room.
Steam that shit off.
Yes. And the laundry service as well. Now, according to Agatha, while enjoying the spa hotel, she did, because this was one of the big questions, she did see her picture in the paper. She saw a picture of a missing woman in the paper. She even remarked to other hotel guests, doesn't that look like me?
How weird indeed.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah. Crazy lady.
Maybe it just wasn't very good pictures, so they were like, yeah, I guess it kind of looks like you. I don't know.
It's probably in black and white, so yeah, you know, very flat picture. I don't know.
It was. Mm-hmm. And it could have, you know, if she was sitting there saying, no, I'm not that person, I would probably believe her too.
Yeah.
It was her. And the sad part is, in this interview, she revealed that while she was at the hotel and thinking she was a completely different person, she read the articles about herself and thought, that's a stupid woman.
Maybe she kind of like disassociated and was like, here I have been with, you know, in a marriage that's been a kind of a sham a little bit. You know, my husband's, you know, not that that was in the papers necessarily. I don't know what the article said.
Yeah, I think it was. But
that he was having an affair?
It said that she had probably left because her husband was having an affair. And that's why Nancy, his girlfriend, was also questioned, because they knew about the affair. So that's why she said, that's a stupid woman for being with that man and, you know, going missing and stuff. And it's like, ouch, that's harsh on yourself.
But maybe it's what she needed. If this is true, I have a feeling it's not, but I kind of like to believe it. But anyways, yeah, maybe it's what she needed to take a step back, essentially. Because, I mean, think of how many times you and I or anybody, any of you guys, have done something stupid, whether it's in a relationship or in a job or something, and you're like, you got to step back, and you can only do that once you've removed yourself from the situation, so to speak. And then you can look back and be like, that was so dumb.
Yeah, like, I should not have done that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's possible. So, case closed? Question mark? Yeah, we don't know. Maybe the amnesia was a cover story.
I think so.
I mean, they can't prove that it was or wasn't. Now, I've heard this. I was not able to substantiate it in any way, but I've heard that Agatha told her sister once that she could go missing anytime if she wanted to.
I feel like I've heard someone else say that. Like, maybe it was just in a movie.
Probably. It's a good dramatic line. I could see it being in a movie or something, or or being made up to attribute to her, because it's like, well, she's a mystery writer, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe she orchestrated this whole thing. It does sound like something out of one of her books.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. It's really hard to say for certain what happened. Mm-hmm. After all of that business was over with, Agatha and Archie did get a divorce, thank God.
Good girl. You mm-hmm. do you, baby. You do you, boo.
Yeah, you get away from him. It was finalized about a year after Agatha's disappearing act. Mm-hmm. And Archie, a week after the divorce was finalized, married Nancy.
Oh my gosh.
Good riddance. Fuck mm-hmm. that guy.
No.
No, don't fuck him. Agatha, on the other hand, later met and married an archaeologist named Max Malawan.
Aw, lovely.
So she's happy too. Yeah. Good. Yeah, and the two would spend many happy years together excavating in Egypt and Baghdad.
All doing what she loved. I love that for her.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. Max was the man for her. She needed to get rid of Archie and move on to Max because that was mm-hmm. great for her.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Agatha Christie novels is actually a murder mystery set in ancient Egypt.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called Death Comes as the End. Beautiful. And she actually, the interesting part is, it's very, you know, as factual as it could have been, because she was fucking married to an archaeologist and she was mm-hmm. down there herself with her hands in the sand. And it was based on a letter that they had found that was sent in ancient Egypt from family member to family member. So she based mm-hmm. this whole story on a series of letters in this family. Mm-hmm. It's so great.
That's awesome. That sounds really cool.
I'm surprised it's not like a movie. It should be.
I'm sure they might make an adaptation. And while we're talking about it, I saw a movie maybe a year ago called Agatha and the Truth of Murder. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Okay, I'll have to figure out where it's where I saw it. It might have been Netflix. I can't remember. Anyways, basically what it is the story of Agatha mm-hmm. Christie going missing, but while she's missing, she's not at the spa like what really happened. They made up a kind of a story about what she was doing during that time, how she went undercover to help solve a murder, like in this house. So she dresses up like a maid, and she's in there, and they're trying to figure out who done it. So it starts off with her, you know, being upset about her husband, and you see her daughter, and then she goes off, and they're like, where were you doing all that time? And she's over here solving this murder. It was awesome. It was really good. So it's called Agatha and the Truth of Murder. Really good.
That sounds cool.
It's really cute.
Is it like a newer movie or like mm-hmm. from the 70s?
No, it came out in 2018. So it's very new.
Oh, cool. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. I want to watch that. That sounds fun.
Yes. Yes, it was really good. I liked it. So that's all I really knew about the story was that she went missing. But I saw this movie and it tells you like an alternate reality of what she might have done, which obviously is not what she did.
Wink.
But it was really cute. I loved it.
That's so cool. I like that better than the Doctor Who episode that came out about Agatha Christie's disappearance, made her real stupid.
I've never
of
seen
course
that one.
Aliens or something. I don't know. It wasn't very sure, good. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry to say that because it was a David Tennant and Donna episode. Mm-hmm. Tate, something Tate. Sharon Tate. No, that's not it. That is
nope,
not it.
Wrong lady. She was murdered wrong by Tate. The Manson family.
Yes, wrong Tate. Anyway, it could have been a really good episode, but it was shit. And it made me sad because I love Agatha Christie and Doctor Who. But
yeah,
can't all be winners. So... Agatha's painful shyness lasted her whole life. Despite being famous, she rarely granted interviews or made public appearances. In fact, she got more and more reclusive after her mysterious disappearance.
Well, I love a woman of mystery, so I think that's okay.
Right. I mean, she has all the right to her privacy that she wants.
A woman's heart is a deep ocean.
Aww. Like the Titanic, the heart.
Titanic,
the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Had to, sorry.
I love it. Her last public appearance before she died was in 1974 at the opening of Death on the Nile with Albert Finney playing Hercule Poirot. I haven't seen that one. Have you?
Mm-mm. I don't think I've seen any of them.
Oh, okay. Okay. I kind of want to watch this one, but I also, at the end of this most recent, the Kenneth Branagh Murder on the Orient Express, at the end of that one, they did a little hint that Kenneth Branagh was going to star as Hercule Poirot again in Death on the Nile and make another one.
Cool.
They need to fucking hurry up, but you know, 2020 happened and they didn't do any movies, so. I think that would be good. He's not my favorite Poirot, but he's... Now, Albert Finney, he's a good actor. He's a British actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. After the movie, Agatha was asked what she thought of it. This is, you know, based on her book. She said it was a good movie, good adaptation of her book, but Poirot's mustache wasn't nearly luxurious enough.
Well, damn.
That was her one critique. Like, hey, make the mustache bigger.
Bigger.
Bigger. It's got to be luxurious. And if you haven't seen that one with Kenneth Branagh as Poirot, they definitely made it as big as they possibly could. It's a little ridiculous, but maybe that would be perfect for her.
Yeah, maybe. They're like, all right, we took notes. We took notes. We went bigger. More luxurious.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of silly looking.
It's so heavy it like drags down his face. Like it's melting. Awesome.
Now, that, like I said, that was her last public appearance. That was in 1974. She passed away in 1976, and she was 85 years old.
Yeah.
And Max, her husband, passed away in 78, only a couple years after her. So I think they were very close. Had a good marriage.
Good. I'm glad. She needed it. She deserved it.
Yes, after that. Fucking cad Archie. Archie.
Archie. Fucking Archie, Archie. Man.
So Lisa, what do you think?
I think she staged her amnesia, but I love it.
I'm down for it. I'm like, do it, girl.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I agree. I think she went, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was gonna say, I think she needed some time away, and I love that she set it up. I mean, sure, she could have done it for the, you know, the thrill, the suspense, the mystery. And I love that about, like, especially if she was a shy, timid person, for her to do that and pull it off for, what, 10 days?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Not bad. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good. I think that the fact that her car ended up very close to where her husband was made it, like, okay, a little suspicious. Like, okay, you were trying. I think she was. I think based on reading a lot of her books, not all of them, but a lot of them, I think she knew, like, if I leave my car looking like this, I think she did get in an accident, but she's like, you know what? I'm going to use this to my advantage. I'm going to leave my car looking like this, and I'm going to fucking ruin his weekend.
I love that. That's perfect. I'm going to ruin his weekend. I love that. Oh my gosh, so much.
Yes. Yes, and that's maybe why she didn't want to talk about it the rest of her life. She was like,
yes, I like it.
So that that finishes our episode on Agatha Christie and her mysterious disappearance. Thanks for listening, guys. If you like what you heard, maybe you'd like to join our Patreon. We have a few perky perks.
We do.
Like our show Dolls After Dark. In our regular episodes, we try to stay on topic in order to tell a good story. Try being the key word. But we get more personal in Dolls After Dark, go down some rabbit holes. We like to get dark and dirty, have some laughs.
Oh, yeah.
So come check us out. The links are in our show notes.
That's right. And speaking of checking things out, check out our socials. Come follow us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. Tweet us on that Twitter at Near Death Dolls. We got a TikTok where we're having lots of fun. Just search Near Death Dolls Podcast and you'll find us. We're also on that Tumblr at neardeathdolls.tumblr.com. And if you want to help a doll out, you know what to do. Subscribe and leave us a review.
We'd love that. And as always, darling dolls, be good to each other.
That's right. Until next time. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta, darling.
Ta-ta, darling. And write. Write lots. Write lots, and then fake your own anything. Fake your own anything, except for orgasm. Don't fake that.
Don't fake that, because that's just hurting yourself in the end.
Yeah. Absolutely. Train your lover. Let him know what you like. And don't be an Archie. An Archie and a Nancy. Don't be Archie and Nancy, all right?
Do not. Do not. If you're going to go somewhere and disappear for a couple days, make it a spa hotel.
I love it. Let's do it. Paige, do you want to disappear for a while? Because I do.
This is on the record now, Lisa. We're in trouble. They're going to catch us.
We're going to cut this out. Okay.
I'm down. Let's do it.
All right, guys. Special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.